Well, coming up on today's show, a busy day of Tesla news, including Model 3 key fobs and a large delivery of Model 3s. Polestar unveils the production model of the Polestar 1, and Renault take over an island to renew and reuse electric battery power. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are in the world. Hello and welcome to the Saturday, the 22nd of September edition of EV News Daily. It's Martin Lee here with the news you need to know about electric cars and the move towards sustainable transport. Little mention to all my Patreon subscribers who'll be getting their extra Saturday podcast with all of the bits of news that I haven't had a chance to put in the past 7 days worth of podcasts, all wrapped up into an extra one for Patreon subscribers. Thank you very much to those for helping make the show and myev.com for making the show. That's the website that, have you been to it yet? You can buy and sell and learn about electric cars all in one place. They've been adding to their kind of 101 guide, as it were, learning about EVs, charging, and all those kind of things. Incentives was a new article that I read about today and was tweeting about that on myev.com. Go check them out. So I mentioned the Tesla news. It's been not the busiest week of Tesla news. The usual things have been going around, like somebody left the company and it became front page news. Really, nobody leaves GM or Nissan or Volkswagen, and you get these news articles spreading around the internet going, oh, the logistics person of VW's moved on to a new job. But it happens at Tesla, and the world seems to stop turning for a couple of hours as everybody goes slightly mad about it. So I won't be reporting that because, really, people move on all the time. Well, for not being in America, all I can say is the FCC seems to be a really good place for leaks. When I used to follow mobile phones a lot more closely than I do these days and was kind of getting super geeky at one point about mobile phones, the story always seemed to come from the FCC. I'm not sure what they do. However, thank you, FCC, for publishing the things that you publish and giving us the stories. Fred at Electric says that some owners of Model 3s have been complaining of occasional issues of using the mobile phone app to get into their car, which relies on the phone's Bluetooth connection. Now, when Tesla applied for a new key fob using BLE frequency, they need to apply to the FCC to do that. Electrek speculated that Tesla was introducing the device for the Model 3. The documents were confidential until today, and Electrek say they can now confirm the key fob is for a Model 3. Looks nice, looks very similar actually to the Model X and Model S fobs, kind of chunky, kind of shiny, buttons for the doors, frunks and trunks. And I'm not clear whether it's going to ship as standard with all Model 3s, or maybe it's going to be an optional extra for a couple hundred bucks. Many owners saying they're actually perfectly happy with using their iPhone to get inside their car, actually, that it's kind of liberating not carrying keys around. You simply leave your house with your wallet and your phone, and your car knows when you walk up to it, and it just lets you in. Anyway, I'll put a link to the Electrek article in the show notes. Well, from inside EVs, a trusted source has been tipping them off about Tesla deliveries. And although the source requested to remain anonymous, they are happy enough with the validity of their source to report on this story. They shared that the Tesla service center technicians are being pulled from all their usual duties over the next week to chip in and help with deliveries. Apparently, Tesla has readied 7,000 Model 3s in the San Francisco Bay Area alone over the last week. We hear, say, inside EVs, the specific goal for Tesla is to deliver 1,000 Model 3s a day for the last week of the month in the Bay Area alone. Well, moving on to the Polestar, of course, that's the offshoot of Volvo, the company that's now owned by China's Geely. And Volvo debuted its very first production version of their Polestar 1 EV and previewed it in New York with the CEO squarely taking aim at Tesla, says this report on TechCrunch. Jake Bright's been writing about the Polestar 1, and although it isn't cheap at $155,000, you do get two batteries inside it for that, and each of them drives, as far as I know, each motor takes power from each battery. I think that's how it works, actually. Three motors on the Polestar 1. They must divvy out the power some way, and that is a lot of power and performance, even before you factor in the fossil performance. With a range of 100 miles, you won't need the fossil unless you're going to gun the car all day and you need that power to kick in. I can't think of a hybrid on sale anywhere in the world that does 100 miles of EV pure electric range before the engine kicks in. I mean, it is technically a hybrid. Well, it's not just technically, it is a hybrid car, but you really would never need to rely on gas unless you're after the super performance of the Polestar 1. Of course, they have said that all cars after the Polestar 1 will be full electrics. Polestar 2, for instance, is going to be a direct competitor to the Tesla Model 3, according to the CEO, Thomas Singleth. He said on the launch stage, he told TechCrunch the company's going to focus more on creating converts to EVs than pulling away from Tesla's existing market share. And that's interesting. It's what we've talked about a lot on the podcast. In fact, earlier this week, I was talking about that with the launch of the Audi e-tron Quattro. And I was saying, I don't think this takes buyers from the Tesla Model X. I just think it takes buyers from other Audi SUVs in their range, or maybe people that were going to buy a Mercedes-Benz, or perhaps something else, like the Porsche fast SUV. And actually, I think it'll take those kind of buyers rather than cannibalizing people who were going to buy an EV already. There's been some figures released by Nissan, and it's a different segment of the market, but Nissan, for instance, where a vast majority of people buying the new generation Nissan Leaf have been coming from not other EVs, but they've been trading in their fossils for it. Well, there are many people, says Thomas Ingeleth, a CEO of Polestar. There are many people out there who still think a car has to have a combustion engine. Polestar 1 is an extremely good vehicle to get people across that line. And once they drive it, they understand what an amazing experience an electric car is. Whilst Polestar's HQ is in Gothenburg in Sweden, it's going to manufacture its cars at a plant in Chengdu in China. I'll put that TechCrunch link in the show notes. Well, Teslarati has a new semi-truck video from Tesla. The semi has been sighted in multiple sites across the UK, says Simon Alvarez. And during the company's Q2 earnings call earlier this year, Jerome Guillen, who is the former head of the truck program, now the company's president of automotive, what a hell of a promotion that was very recently, he pointed out the vehicle has already been improved upon since it was initially unveiled. The exact nature of the improvements remains to be seen. I imagine it's going to be all round range, performance, comfort as well. A video of the semi captured earlier this month is a really interesting indication of what those performance improvements could be. The electric truck has got even more crazy fast off the line. This coming from a Reddit user who filmed this. I'll play you the audio now. Well, Simon at Teslarati says the semi's performance, handling and power were specifically pointed out by the professional driver Emil Bure, a close friend of the Tesla chief designer Franz von Holzhausen. In an Instagram post earlier this month, of course, Emil has been involved in Tesla for a little while. He's a very good test driver for all sorts of cars, and he's been doing this a very long time. So he's been involved in, or Franz brought him into test drive things like the new Roadster to give them feedback on that. There's a fascinating video online. Where did I watch it? VinWiki. Right. So VinWiki make great videos and they tell great stories really about cars and driving them, being chased by the police in them. VinWiki is a great YouTube channel and they have hundreds of thousands of views on all their videos. But one of VinWiki's videos was with Emil Bure, where he does talk about the Tesla, what did he talk about? The Roadster, because he was the one doing the test drives at the Tesla Semi event where the Roadster made an appearance. So he was talking about that, and I think that made some headlines months and months ago, actually, that they started lifting quotes from that video. But go check him out on there. It's interesting watching him talk firsthand about the Tesla engineers that would take him out with a certain set of settings like suspension and dampers and coils and springs and things. And they would take him out and they'd come back to the factory, make a tweak, take him out again. They say, what do you think? What do you think? Do you like the changes? And he'd be like, well, I've been a professional test driver for ages and I can't feel any changes. So that just is an indication, according to like the level of detail the Tesla engineers were going to get the Model 3 ride just right. That's a video well worth checking out. Well, Renault say they are delighted to unveil a brand new joint project known as Flexmobile. The aim of the smart electric ecosystem is to facilitate the energy transition on a French island, Belle-Île-en-Mer, which lies off the coast of southern Brittany. Well, the initiative, you see, follows in the footsteps of this other kind of smart fossil-free island program they've been doing since last February. It's on a Portuguese island of Porto Santo, just off the Madeira archipelago. Now, for the next 2 years, Group Renault and its public and private partners all involved on the island are going to be developing this really smart electric ecosystem. It's all been conceived to reduce the island's carbon footprint and increase energy independence. And of course, if you do it on an island, very geographically self-contained. From 2019, Belle-Île-de-Mer residents and even visitors to the island are going to have access to a fleet of electric cars with a self-service hire program. It's going to feature some Renault Zoes and Kangoo ZEs, zero emissions, and these vehicles are going to be powered all thanks to charging stations close to the main attractions on the French island. So this new car sharing service is going to take advantage of the surplus energy that gets produced by solar panels installed on the roofs of all the big public buildings on the island. Like solar panels, for instance, on the rooftop of the school, well, that's going to provide heat and lighting for the classrooms, but also at the weekends when the kids aren't in school or during holidays, it's going to be used to charge cars. Well, Group Renault plans to provide second life EV batteries for the island's largest holiday residences. The batteries are going to be used to store energy produced during the day by the solar panels. Then they'll get used when the sun goes down in the evening when you want to do your heating and cooking and to heat the bungalows as well. It should allow the centre to extend its holiday season, which until now they've had to cut short their holiday system a season because of heating costs. This is a fascinating thing that Renault are doing. And of course, in this kind of isolated ecosystem of being an island, they can test things and test ideas and different technologies. I'll put a link to the Renault press release site here in the UK, at least, where I get stories from Renault, in the show notes. Well, the EV revolution may be starting to gain ground in terms of you buying a car for your personal driving, but what about emergency services like ambulances? Could they be electric? Well, according to the UK's leading public health body, they should be. It's a report in Auto Express that I picked up today. The National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, they're called NICE, and they do the NICE guidelines, and they have published some guidance recommending public sector organisations, and I quote, should make low emission vehicles one of the key criteria when they make future procurement decisions. This could include selecting low emissions vehicles, including EVs, end quote. And it's interesting, actually, in the same podcast that we're talking about the extreme performance of the Tesla semi-truck. I mean, we're talking without a trailer hooked up to the semi, it's like under 6 seconds to go 0 to 60. Under 6 seconds for a truck, a semi-truck, to get to 60 miles an hour. You get stuck behind a diesel, one of those, and it's going to be like 30 seconds. And you're like, oh, I'm going to be stuck behind a truck. Can I overtake? Can I get past? The Tesla semi is going to burn you away from the lights. It's a truck. And if they can prove the technology works there because they're using a combination of Model 3 motors, they're stacking Model 3 batteries, can you imagine the performance of emergency vehicles? Because you need police cars to be quick, ambulances to be fast, to get people to hospital where they need to be. And of course, once that charging infrastructure is in place, that's a fascinating thing to think about as well. I'll put a link to that Auto Express article in the show notes if you'd like to read a little bit more. Final story for today. And it's this is a slightly more geeky thing, but I like to talk about this. China's top producer of lithium, the metal that's used in some EV batteries, said it's agreed a new deal with Tesla to supply a fifth of their production they need, highlighting the need for supply packs. According to Bloomberg, Tesla will designate its battery suppliers to buy lithium products from Ganfeng Lithium in China, and its Jiangxi-based company said in a filing to the Shenzhen exchange today that the agreement runs from this year to 2020 and could be extended for 3 years after that. Earlier this week, Ganfeng also announced an agreement with LG Chem from next year to 2025. It's another contract, and it's more lithium to be provided for batteries. Now, Tesla may need as much as 28,000 tons of the stuff every single year, based on a battery output from Gigafactory 1 in Nevada of 35 gigawatt hours per year. That's how much they need according to Benchmark Minerals forecast. So just an idea. We talk about the cars all the time, the semi-trucks, the solar, the energy bit of Tesla, and we like all of that. That's the sexy stuff, right? But a reminder that in the background, there is a bazillion deals being done like this one today to procure a lot of raw materials. And Tesla are, many say, kind of ahead of the game on that and have been sewing up these supply contracts for, well, they've got 10 years experience doing this now, which is one of the reasons why other car makers have not been perhaps as successful as they hoped in securing large supplies of batteries until now. And those contracts have been going out over the last few years, and many have been signed as well in big headline deals as well, so they're only finally starting to come through now. Well, thank you very much to the gang at myev.com for setting this week's question of the week. One more day to get your questions in, please, in the comment section via email. How was your EV buying experience? Did you buy it from a dealer? Did you haggle on price? Is it leased? Was it used or new? What are your successes and your fail stories, please? Tell me on the comment section, or you can email hello@evnewsdaily.com. That is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thank you very much to the 83 patrons now. That's one more than yesterday. Always seems to be one more every day at the moment. Thank you so much. I literally can't thank you enough. When I was a patron, I thought five people will help support the podcast and I'll be blown away and that'll be amazing, and I never expected 83 people to thank you very much to support the podcast. If it's a thing that you want to check out, fine, but I mean, it's totally optional. The thing that you could do for me, if you can do anything, is share the podcast with somebody, maybe on Facebook, on Twitter, maybe someone you know, maybe it's a conversation in a bar down the pub, and you can say, you know, if you're into podcasts, there's this one, it's called this, download it. Or maybe you can just help me promote the podcast in a way that I haven't thought about yet on like a forum or something that I haven't had time to do. That would mean more, actually, than checking out patreon.com/evnewsdaily. Well, if you want to check out 242 episodes of this podcast, they are online. They're all for free. They always will be free. And if you want to catch up on the socials, just search EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow.